we were cut off there. You were saying about how during the day you would write down Kenny's statements.
That's right.
What kinds of things would you write down?
Brilliant remarks. He was so bright. And I don't remember now, but I remember I went to Macy's with him, and we went into a room, and I wanted Kenny to speak into the microphone, and I had to close the door. That's what they demanded, you know? So Kenny said, "Open door, open door." And then I asked him, "Where do you go, Shabbos? To shul, and what do you eat? Kegel." That's what he said. That's right. And then he sang, da 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 Yachad, yachad, shifted. That's what he sang in the tape.
Who did he look like?
Looked like me.
And you had said last time that initially you hadn't wanted to have kids, and your husband was the one who wanted them. What was motherhood like for you in the beginning, particularly since you were by yourself?
Right. At the beginning, I had my wonderful family. When he was in the neighborhood talking about, right? I had the most wonderful family taking care of him. They were so good to him. They adored him. They worshipped him. And my brother-in-law, Al, used to take me. He wasn't my brother-in-law yet, but he was brother-in-law-to-be. He took me out to shows, to movies, had a wonderful time, and the family took care of Kenny.
And were you enjoying being a mother?
Oh, I adored it. I loved it. I just loved Kenny.
So even though it was something that you really hadn't wanted growing up, now that you had your child, you were happy.
Exactly.
What kinds of things would you do with him every day?
Oh, first of all, we went out every single day in the carriage. And I wheeled him in the carriage. He was a big crier. Oh, my God. I didn't know what to do to stop him from crying so much. He didn't like the carriage. He didn't like anything. But we did take walks, and we went to the park. I remember one story. There was a man in the park, and there was an airplane overhead. And the man said to me, "You see that? Someday you're going to be in there." And I said to him, "Never."
When was the
because
first time
it was
you went?
So strange. Kenny must have been about a year old, maybe less. And mind you, at that time, if you saw an airplane, it was so strange. I will never forget that man. And I said, "Never will I go in an airplane."
When was the first time you went in an airplane?
When I went to Florida. No, of course not. When Papa was in the Navy, and I came home from Billings, Montana. That's the first time.
What was it like?
Scary. Very scary. But more scary was the fact that I had to sit in the area, you know, where the people sit to wait for their planes to go off. I had to sit there for two nights.
In the waiting room.
Waiting room. And the Indians were sitting there with long, black, gorgeous braided hair, smoking pipes. And here I am, this Caucasian girl, alone. I was scared to death.
So this was on a different trip that you took, separate than the Seattle one?
Exactly. No. This was the Seattle trip.
Ah.
This was the Seattle trip.
So you went back from Seattle to Montana, and then you flew home.
I was dumped. You know what that means?
No.
Dumped means I was taken off the plane. That's what the word they used then, dumped. Because I had to make room for the soldiers. I had to sit in the waiting room for two nights. I was scared to death. I was all alone, really. I was scared that I'd be raped. And I didn't sleep, I didn't close my eyes. But it was an experience because I enjoyed seeing the Indians and smoking their pipes and everything. Tell had nothing to eat.
Do you remember VE Day when the war was over?
Oh, you know what we did? Kenny and I went out and we took rolls of toilet paper and we just unrolled the toilet paper and Kenny and I had a ball. We were so happy. Oh.
Where were you?
Carroll Street. We went outside. Yeah.
Was the whole street filled with people doing that?
No. No. Not at all. Just Kenny and I. Would you believe it?
How did you learn the news?
On the radio. Well, we took rolls of toilet paper and Kenny had a ball unrolling the paper. We were screaming. We were so happy. Daddy's coming home. Daddy's coming home. And the next day, I went to the print shop and I made him make up the sign, Welcome Home, Daddy Mac. And I left it until he came. When he came, it was up on the door of the house.
How long after was it until he came home, about?
A few months. Yeah, a few months.
And what was it like having been away from your husband for that time? And then having, did you have to get to know him in a way again?
It was very difficult because we lived in one crowded room. And we had a very small bed, and we're two big people. Your papa's 6'2", and I'm 5'9". And it was very difficult sleeping together. And Kenny also slept in the room with us. As a matter of fact, he said some very unpleasant things to my father.
Who did?
Kenny.
What did he say?
He said to my father, you know, that daddy pulled down mommy's panties.
How old was he?
He was four.
What
three.
Did,
three.
And how three. Much how much longer did you live there?
Not too long.
It was time to get out.
Very hard. So we went to my mother-in-law, and we had a large, lovely, airy room there. We were much more comfortable. And in the summertime, Mac rented an apartment in Rockaway or Coney Island, Coney Island, whatever. And, you know, it's on all the way up on the fourth or fifth floor, walk up. And every Shabbos, Papa would put Kenny on his shoulders and he walked him down and he walked him up. We had a ball. We used to go to the beach all the time. Of course, he worked, you know, at weekend.
Where was he working?
He worked,
Well, what was he doing?
Accounting, CPA, yeah, for a very good firm, making good money. And we, Saturday and Sunday, we'd go to the beach, and Kenny had such a good time. It was wonderful. We were alone. We had our own room. We were in heaven. And from there, we rented an apartment on Glendale Court in a new house. And it was just wonderful. Heaven.
What did you do during the days while Papa was at work?
When Papa was at work, took care of my children. I took care of my household chores, cooked, baked, cleaned, took the baby out.
So were you...
Shopped.
You were becoming a better cook, I guess. We talked about that last time.
Oh, yes. Much better. I was very good.
What kind of food did you cook, and what were you learning to make?
Oh, I used the cookbook.
Which one?
Oh, God. Jenny Grossinger. Jenny Grossinger's cookbook, the first one. She has the best recipes of anybody. Anybody. So I made meatballs, which are very famous. And, of course, I made steaks then and lamb chops. They weren't a lot of money then. They're a lot of money today. And, I made everything. Really did. And I baked.
What did you bake?
I baked pineapple upside down cake which Kenny once, I had it out to cool, and Kenny went over to it and ate all the cherries. He remembers.
And how old was my father, was Kenny, when he went off to school?
Let's see. Figure it out.
He was about 5, maybe?
Sure.
He went to kindergarten?
Yeah,
nursery.
He hated it. Kenny hated it.
How do you know?
Because he cried every day and he'd throw up. He hated it. I had to take him out.
And, didn't he maybe go for one day and then he cried and you took him home for the year?
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Yes. I took him to the school. It was a beautiful school.
Which
really.
School?
It was a private school, whatever. And
in which neighborhood?
In Brooklyn, everything Brooklyn. And he didn't want to stay, and it was impossible. I just didn't want to subject him, you know, to that misery. So I took him out, and I let him stay home for a year.
In a sense, that makes me remember how you said you regretted when he was very little, that when he would cry in the crib, you didn't go to him.
Absolutely.
And now, he cried one day, and you took him home for the year. So you were changing a little bit as a mother, it sounds
maybe,
like.
Maybe, but I made a very big mistake. If I were young today, I would definitely pick him up after 10 minutes.
Did you?
I'd let him cry 10 minutes, and that's it.
Did you enjoy having him home at this point?
Oh, yeah.
So then he went back to school.
Yeah.
And tell me about your thinking with your husband about maybe having another child.
Right.
What was your thinking about that?
Well, I felt that I really wanted a second child. I wasn't thrilled about it, but...
Were you the one who wanted one, or was your husband?
My husband.
You would have been happy to stop.
Yeah, I would have been happy to stop. But having Dennis, we had a crisis when he was 10 days old. Very bad crisis.
Before you tell me that,
yes.
Tell me a little bit about when you were pregnant with him. Was my father now in school at this point?
Yes, he was.
So they're 5 years apart.
Yes.
And he was born August of 1948.
Exactly.
So what was that like, pregnancy and the birth?
I never liked being pregnant. I hated it. And I hated giving birth. So that's it. I hated it.
Was he also a big boy like Kenny?
No. He was 7'14". He was not 10'12". And I just didn't find any beauty in giving birth and being pregnant. But I looked better. And you know, even being pregnant, I dressed beautifully.
What do you mean you looked better? You mean than the first time?
Yeah, because I was very big with Kenny, and I wasn't with Dennis. And I had such pretty dresses. As a matter of fact, one of the ladies from across the street in Glendale Court, she was an older woman, she used to say to me, "You're so beautiful. Every day you dress so beautifully." And I would let the ice cream truck go away. I never bought ice cream because I didn't want to be fat as I was with Kenny.
And when Dennis was born, my father was in school.
Yeah.
So what was Dennis like as a little baby?
Dennis was good. But can I tell you about the crisis?
Oh, yes, I forgot. Thank you. Yes. 10 days old.
When he was 10 days old, I had a nurse. Got her name already. But anyhow, she was a German woman. And he was in the crib, and I went in to check on him. You know, I was fine. And I see that he's struggling for breath, and he's all red, and I called the nurse, and I said, look at my baby. He's not well. She says, oh, he's all right. I says, no, he's not all right. Pick him up. And he's starting to foam at the mouth. And I ran outside in the back porch from this new house, And I screamed to the people downstairs. Jerry, his name was. Please, do you know a doctor? He said, yes. I was lucky he knew a doctor. The doctor came. He left his door open. He didn't even close. He ran up and he started giving him artificial respiration. And he wasn't responding. And he said, look, you had better call the police. This boy is dying. You're losing him. And we called the police and the firemen came. And we were very fortunate. They had a mask to fit a baby. And they put the mask in his mouth. The minute they put the oxygen to his mouth, he started to cry. And the fireman was so touched, he started to cry too. He said, look, I have children home. I know what it means. You have just saved your son. He is living. Listen to him screaming. He was fine. Apparently, he didn't burp, and he had to burp, and you had to hold him for a very, very long time in order for him to burp. And he really had indigestion, you know? So we called the doctor, and he said, put him on goat's milk. And this was Friday, almost time to light candles. So Mac, Papa, ran around to get goat's milk. At that time, you couldn't get it. Today, you can get it anywhere. He went all over until he finally got goat's milk. He brought it home, and I gave Dennis goat's milk. About 2 weeks later, I went to the pediatrician with him. The pediatrician looked at him, and he said, look, he looks like he was in the Holocaust. This child is emaciated. Get him off that goat's milk and put him on regular milk. He's got to put on weight. He's skin and bones. Who told you to do this? I said, I had some very prominent doctor. He cost me $100. I remember that. So we put him on regular milk, and he started to gain weight. And if I hadn't gone in to look at him, he wouldn't be here. And Kenny, your father, was so funny. He sat outside this house. It was a two-family house. And the crowd gathered, you know, because the firemen came and the police. And Kenny sat there and he said, that's my brother. That's my brother. He remembers it. Yes. He was so proud, you know.
And you had had a scary incident with Kenny also when he was a baby, when he aspirated. What happened there?
That was so terrible. Kenny went to my sister Chippy in Irvington on the Hudson for succus. And he was playing with his friend Zanny.
About how old was he?
He was 8. Or 7, I think. And he was playing with his friend Zanny. And it was a deep sea diver toy. And apparently there was a little bolt that became loose, you know, and he aspirated it. He went, that's what they were doing. And the bolt went into his lung. And I called up every night to find out how everything was. And Kenny gets on the phone and he says, something. I can't breathe. I go to Dr. Spock's book and I look up what happens when a child swallows something. He says, you gotta get him to the doctor immediately. Chippy and Al brought him the next morning at 7 a.m. And I went downstairs to the doctor, Dr. Leibowitz, who x-rayed him. I was there. Papa was sick with the flu and fever. And I'm sitting there, and there is the bolt. And I'm looking at the bolt.
On the x-ray.
I thought I would drop dead. Dr. Leibowitz immediately called a doctor who removed foreign bodies from children. And he called him up. He was kind enough to make the appointment for Kenny that day. He would have died. He was dying. He really was. And we went to the hospital, and I don't remember the hospital. And Papa was homesick, and Chippy came, and Pearl came, everybody came, sitting with me. And the doctor came out with the mask on and everything, says, look, I'm fishing, he showed me, he's trying to get the bolt, yeah, with a, the thing that catches onto it.
A magnet.
Magnet, thank you very much. He says, here's the magnet, I'm working on him, I'm going to give him 1 more hour. If I don't get it, then I'm going to have to operate. And it took him an hour. He came out and he showed me the bolt. And he said, here it is. And I said, may I have it? He said, no. Come to my office. It's in my china closet with all the other foreign bodies that I have fished out from children. That's what he told me. Unfortunately, wow. I didn't go. Anyhow, Kenny was in the hospital for 1 week, and it was Simchas Torah. And we drove there every single day to the hospital. And he was miserable, really. He had to get injections. He hated it. And there was such a terrible experience when I sat in the waiting room. Many people were there, and I happened to speak to a man. And he said to me, what are you here for? And I said, my son swallowed something. He says, I wish my son swallowed 1 million things. He says, my son has cancer. Very young baby in a crib. And the next morning he was gone. It was such a sad experience that I had. I can't tell you. Yeah, I'll never forget when he said to me, I wish my son swallowed 1 million things. He would have been saved, never.
Wow.
So that was my experience.
So your two boys now were 7 and 2. There were 5 years between them.
5 and a half, yeah.
5 and a half. And what were they like as boys? Were they similar?
The best brothers you ever saw. They never fought. Never fought. They used to, fight and fun, you know? Had a lot of fun. But Kenny always, always stuck up for Dennis. He was so good to him. If, you know, I couldn't take it from Dennis. Dennis was very difficult.
What was he like?
At home, he was an angel. But when I went to school for the reports, the teachers would tell me he signed at the report cards, you know, I saw it. I signed all the notes, which I never did, you know. And he'd trip kids, and it was impossible. Really was. And it was terrible. You know, how can you take it?
Were you strict with him?
Very, very strict with him.
How did you, what did you do?
What did I do? I yelled at him. I sure did. I think I gave him a couple of smacks. I did.
And it wasn't working.
Oh, no. It wasn't working.
And how did you have to parent my father? Did you have to be strict with him, too?
No. He was as good as gold. He was such a good child, Kenny. So was Dennis. But Kenny was perfect. Nothing was wrong. He was brilliant in school. He was good in school. He was good in sports. He was good with friends. He was an angel. He won an award when he was 12 years old. And because he had a friend who lost his father and he was a poor boy, he gave that money to the boy. Isn't that lovely?
That is.
Yes.
You mentioned sports.
Yeah.
You were Brooklyn Dodger fans.
Oh, I know.
Tell me a little bit about that. Did you watch the games or listen to the games or go to the games?
We used to go some days. I packed up food and we went to the games. We had a ball. I used to sit there and scream. A ball hit me over here once. I really had some pain.
In your hip?
In my hip.
Who was your favorite player?
My favorite player was Jackie Robinson.
Why?
he was so sweet. And I just felt that a black boy should get a chance in life, you know? And
what was that like, seeing the game suddenly desegregated?
Very strange. But you see, people hated blacks. But when it came to the game, they loved Robinson. And you figure it out. You understand what I said?
I do.
They cheered him, they loved him, but they hated blacks.
How did you sense that people hated blacks?
Well, you'd read about it in the paper, and you'd see mobs and rioting, you know, and against blacks. It was awful.
Do you remember that there were, for example, separate water fountains and things like that?
That I don't remember, no. I only read about it.
Did you know any black people, personally?
I worked in the nursing home, so I knew a lot of blacks.
When did you start working in the nursing home?
I was 38. My sister had died. Esther had died to cancer of the lungs.
That was 1956, so the kids were older by then. So, let's wait. I mean, did you know any black people when you were younger, when you were raising the kids?
A lady who would come in for a day. But my mother used to give her a glass, a separate glass, and she scrubbed it for an hour, you know? And you know how she got a girl to clean? She'd go in the street, and she'd go on Eastern Parkway, where is a big highway, and the black women sat there, and they sat there to get a job, to do house cleaning, and Mama would take her home.
When you saw your mother scrub that glass, you know, that the black woman used, obviously it was a different time then. What did you take from that?
I felt that she was right.
It's because you didn't know any black
people. Well, when my grandfather was murdered by a black person, I was really, really angry. I hated them.
Black people?
Yes. Of course, when I was called to jury duty, you know, and it was a murder case, and I went over to the judge asked me how I stand on it, and I told him the story about my grandfather, and I said, I'm for killing him. He says, go home, you're dismissed.
When was that you were called for jury duty?
I worked. It must have been in my 30s. Yeah.
Getting back to the Dodgers.
Yeah.
So how often did you go to games?
Not too frequently.
But now you're a rabid fan of a lot of sports.
Yeah.
What about back then? When did you become such a sports fan?
Well, I became a Ranger fan when I met Papa. I was 16, 17. I fell in love with the Rangers. We went every New Year's Eve to a Ranger game.
Do you remember when they won the cup? I think 1940?
Absolutely. You know what we did? We started dancing here, and we kissed each other.
Where were you dancing?
Here. No, what in do you Brooklyn.
Mean? In your...
In here, in this room.
Oh, you mean when they won the cup again years later? What about in 1940 when they won the cup? You were 21 years old.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. And were you already were you already a Brooklyn Dodgers fan, or was that also only after you got married?
I was a Brooklyn Dodgers fan when I met Mac. Not when I got married, before.
So he introduced you to sports.
He sure did.
Why did he rooted for the Dodgers?
Absolutely.
What did you think about the Giants and the Yankees?
I hated them. We boo, especially the Yankees. And the Giants. Ooh, terrible.
What are some of the moments of sports that you remember from when you were young? Do you remember when Robinson broke in or when Bobby Thompson hit his home run?
Sure. I remember all of that. I wasn't there, but I read about it, and it was, I mean, Papa was devastated, absolutely devastated. And I love the Rangers.
Did you? So you went every New Year's Eve?
Yes. And every New Year's Eve. We went in the subway.
What was the subway like back then?
Friendly, nice, no problem.
Did you go out other places in the city together to museums or operas or anything?
Only in the subway. Only in the subway. We didn't go to operas when we were young. We went to operas when we were married.
That's what I mean. Once you were married, sure. Now, what were some of your outings together?
Sure. We went to operas. We went to movies. You know, almost every Saturday night, we met with our friends at the Lupkins, the Walkers, and maybe the Judds, and we'd sing songs all night.
In your different houses?
In different houses.
How old were you when you started doing that?
In my 20s.
And where were you living at this point?
On King's Highway. King's Highway, yeah.
And you met them in Shul?
In Shul.
Which Shul?
In Kingsway Jewish Center. And I just took a love for them. I looked at them and I said, that's a couple for me. And they felt the same way about us.
And you became lifelong friends?
Absolutely. At least it must have been about 53, 4 years old, yeah, sure.
And who was your best friend, personally?
The Lupkins. The Lupkins.
Tell me a little bit about them.
Well, the Lupkins, Sylvia and Dave Lupkin, had a very beautiful home, and they entertained beautifully. She was a fantastic cook and baker, and she was just charming and lovely and kind. And we'd meet during the week, and Sylvia would call me up in Morning Hill before I went to work.
Where were you working?
In the Garden Nursing Home.
So this was also a little later, in the 1950s.
Yeah. Yeah.
But were you already in the 1940s? Were you friendly with them already?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Call me up and say, hey, let's go to New York. We go to New York, and we'd shop, and we'd do shopping, Macy's and Gimbel's, all those stores that aren't around today. And we'd eat out. We had such a wonderful time. And we do it about once a week. And
when did you move to 27th Street?
27th Street, I don't remember.
Because that's where you lived for about 50 years.
Oh, sure. About 45, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So it didn't take long where you were really set. You had your good friends, you had your shul, you had your two kids, you had a husband who had a good job and who loved you.
Wonderful. Nobody could ask for more, really.
And so you were, would you describe yourself as happy in the 1940s?
Happy. Oh, I was so happy. Oh, definitely. As a matter of fact, I went to Israel the first time when I was 40 years old. That was my first trip.
What made you think of that just now, going to Israel?
Because you asked me what I did.
Yeah.
And that's outstanding. That stands out in my mind, going to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That would be in the late 1950s.
The children were big already, and they're bigger, yeah.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
What was Shabbos like in your home?
Shabbos was wonderful.
Let's say the kids are now 5 and 10 years old. What was it like?
Right. Friday night, we would talk. We would discuss the news of the week. And we had a lot of arguments, you know. Then Papa said, it's time for the library. So everybody had to take a book. And it was very quiet in the house. And we sat down and we read.
Did you read too?
All of us.
What did you read? What kind of thing?
What did I read? I remember reading A Stone for Danny Fisher. Did you ever hear that book?
No.
Beautiful book. A Stone for Danny Fisher. And then Papa gave me a few books to read. I don't remember the name. It's a beautiful book.
Which newspapers did you read in the family?
We read...
Did you get the tabloids? The Brooklyn Eagle?
The Brooklyn Eagle. Mm-hmm.
Did you get the New York Times? Or no?
I don't think so. I don't think so. We got a lot of Jewish things.
Like what?
You know? Like a Jewish Week or something.
Do you remember in 1948 when Israel was established?
Oh my God!
Tell me.
That was incredible. The TV was on. We were screaming. We were screaming for joy. We were so happy. I can't tell you. Just thrilled.
And tell me about when you first started to hear about the Holocaust, because a lot of people didn't know things.
Exactly.
So tell me what your experience was.
The first thing I saw was a picture in the newspaper of a Jew being pulled by his beard. And I said, Mac, look at one picture, you know, one picture. I said, Mac, look at this. And then the next day, forgot about it. You know.
So if you said it to Mac, was that before he went to the
Navy? Before he went to the Navy, right. And then, as the pictures came out, more and more, you would see these horrible pictures of the treatment of the Jews. You couldn't believe it. You just couldn't believe what was going on. And then I met people who already came out of the Holocaust, and when they told me stories, my God, it was just incredible.
When did you meet those people?
I met them in the nursing home.
So that was not until the late 1950s.
I was 38 years old.
Yeah, the late 50s, mid to late 50s.
And they told me stories.
What about before then, in the 1940s, after the war?
After the war, they showed a picture of General Eisenhower going
concentration
camp. Thank you. Sometimes my senior moments. Going to the concentration camp, and they showed pictures of these bodies. I couldn't believe it. That's when it entered my head.
Did you know, and did you have any family over there?
None. I found out later that I did.
Who did you have over there?
Mac's family.
His Mac's uncle.
Uncle, and, whatever.
And kids who were killed in Auschwitz. But you didn't know that at the time?
Not at all. I said, I had no one. But I said, my heart is broken. But when General Eisenhower showed the concentration camp. Did you ever see that?
Yes.
Oh, I couldn't believe it, Josh. It just killed me. And then Papa and I went to New York to a movie, and they showed pictures.
Newsreel.
The newsreel of the Holocaust. I came out of there devastated. I was just devastated, Josh. They showed it was a long newsreel.
Did you used to listen to programs like with Walter Winchell and to learn about what was going on with politics?
Yes, every week. Every week, yes.
And were you Democrats or Republicans?
Democrats.
Who did you vote for back then? Do you remember?
Roosevelt, naturally. And who else?
Truman.
My father voted for Hoover.
And do you remember what your thoughts were when you heard about dropping the bomb on the Japanese?
I was elated. I was absolutely elated. I said, thank you, you're bringing my husband home to me. And you know what? It was true.
That's right.
It was absolutely true. I don't care what they say. Of course, it was a terrible tragedy with all these people dying and such horrible deaths. But look what they did.
Do you remember the day that they bombed Pearl Harbor?
Oh, do I remember.
Where were you?
I was in my mother-in-law's house, and my friend, Berger, was there. Oh, the hell was his name? I don't remember anything. And he was in the Navy, in the Army. And he reported immediately to his base. He had to leave us, and because they said all naval, all Army personnel come to your base, you know, and he left, yes. And I remember, how old was Kenny? How old could he have been?
Well, that was 1941.
Yeah.
So he wasn't born yet.
No, he wasn't born. There was another baby. Dorothy Berger's baby was there, the guy who went to the Army. She was there on the bed. And I couldn't believe it. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and here I am watching this devastation. It was something terrible. So when they threw the atom bomb, I was just the happiest girl in the world.
So there are these big moments.
Yes.
Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
VE Day.
Yes.
The establishment of the State of Israel.
That's right.
And I imagine, perhaps, also, do you remember when Roosevelt died?
Oh, sure. I cried. I sure did. And I watched the program. Surely.
Which program did you
watch? On TV, his funeral. His funeral.
And you cried?
Oh, yeah. I cried with Kennedy Moore.
That was later. Are there any other big moments, political moments, that you remember where you were when they happened? Or did we cover most of them?
Well, I remember when Kennedy was killed. I know where I was. Later. I was in New York, Macy's.
Really?
And I called up Papa in his office, and it was very hard to get through. All the lines were taken. So I finally got through to him, and I said, "Mac, did you hear that Kennedy was killed?" And he says, "Yes. I'm coming home," he said immediately. I remember he came home, and we had a bar mitzvah the next day. Sylvia Lupkin's sister-in-law's child was being bar mitzvah. And we went to the bar mitzvah with broken hearts. There was no feeling, you know. And she was so sad, the lady who made it. It killed everybody. It was one of the worst days. One of the worst.
Had you voted for him?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
And you probably liked Jackie, too, with her sense of style.
Sure. And then when his brother got killed, oh, my God.
Well, we'll get up to that.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. Last time you said why it is that you named Kenny. Kenny, how did you pick the name Dennis and his Hebrew name? Shmuel Nechemia.
Yes.
How did you do that?
We named him after someone. Who did we name him after? Shmuel Nechemia. Wait a minute. Melech David is named after around the corner side.
Right.
And Shmuel Nechemia's name is the Andesite.
Aha. And what about Dennis? Where'd you get that
name? Dennis? Oh, Papa.
The English name.
Yeah. Papa had a client.
So both the kids were named after some of his clients?
No.
No.
No, I'm wrong.
All right.
Well, I don't know how he got Dennis.
We'll get to that later.
I really don't know.
We'll figure it out later.
I don't remember.
We'll get to that later. Anyway,
I don't remember.
So tell me this now. When the kids were growing up, what did you do in the summers?
Sent them to camp. I sent Dennis when he was 5 years old.
To where?
To camp.
Winsaki?
Was it Winsaki? I think, well, whatever.
Okay.
It was a camp. And Kenny went to camp. And I had a ball. I couldn't wait to get rid of them. Papa and I went to Europe.
Wow.
Oh, yes. And we spent three weeks had the time of our lives. We went to Israel. We went to Europe. We had a ball.
Was that the first time you'd been to Europe?
Absolutely. And the first time I was to Israel. Right.
Well, what was that trip like?
Oh, Joshua. And when we were flying to Israel, I was looking down and I said, oh, I can't believe it. I remember that. Look at it. Look what it looks like. And when we landed, I was in heaven. I was absolutely in heaven.
Do you remember where you went first?
We went to the Dan, I think to the Dan Hotel in Tel Aviv. I liked Tel Aviv. I really did. And we had a private guy take us all over. And we went to places that you wouldn't believe, burned out places and everything. And we saw the Mannheim Gate, was that it? Yeah, whatever. We saw everything, we really did. And we had no fear of getting killed or shot or anything. And we went to the parade, the Israel Day parade there. It was beautiful. And all the airplanes. And
this was while the kids were in camp.
Absolutely.
And what was it like for you as a Jew going there?
I can't tell you how happy I was. I was so proud. Every time I saw a boy with a yarmulke, look at him wearing a kippah. Look at him, he's wearing a kippah. And look at the store. The store has kosher things. And I was